McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first Falkirk Daft of 2023. It's still hard to remember that when you're writing down a day. I am John McAnally, I am your host. My resolutions this year are to eat healthier, exercise more, and we can only hope that Falkirk's resolutions are to win every game between now and the end of the season and get out of this godforsaken league. I'm joined by a man who I'm sure has got plenty of resolutions. It is the Ginger God of Pod himself, it's Mr. Ross Wayne.
Happy New Year, buddy. How's everybody?
And we've done the happy... I mean, well, come on now. What, do you know what I mean? It's the 9th of January now. Should we really...
Is there a cut-off point? Is there a cut-off point?
There is definitely a cut-off point for saying Happy New Year. I would say it's gone. I would say up to the 5th. And then it just gets awkward, doesn't it? It's a bit awkward when you're saying Happy New Year. Obviously, Happy New Year to our listeners, right? But if you meet someone in person, you do the handshake, you do the kiss, it just gets awkward, do you know what I mean? It just, like, no one can be bored with it. I mean, we're now back into this, my first day at work back today, and we're now into the stage where you're getting back into work and it's happy new. But, you know, you're too busy trying to remember your password, you know, you're too busy, you know. It was like back to work bingo today. It was like, right, what's my password? How does this work again? You know, is there any milking? Any milk in the fridge? Oh, it's all out of date. It all went off in December. Oh no, what's that at the back of the work fridge? Oh Jesus, it's coleslaw. Oh, so that's us back into the flow of things for 2023, Ross. And let's hope this is the year we finally get out of League One.
Well, that would be a brilliant New Year's resolution if that one came true. Because as you say, it's getting a bit.
It's tedious now, isn't it? I'm done. I'm fed up. I'm bored. Let's get it.
It was interesting for the first few months of random places, but if I didn't go to Montrose away or Peterhead away, I'd be quite comfortable with it.
Be quite happy. I wonder if I hope Mr. McGlynn and Mr. Smith have made those resolutions. Like, right now, this is your New Year's resolutions, boys. Don't lose another game.
Well, do you know, they've done well to get some of the deadwood out of the squad, so that's a good start.
Well, we'll get onto that in a minute, Ross, actually. There's plenty of news to catch up on since we last spoke. Obviously, those shite bags Dunfermline switched off their heating, and the game got cancelled, which we were looking forward to. Luckily for Ross, however, he now gets to go to the game because he was in Eurodisney, he was going to miss it. So it's all worked out.
I was the only person happy with it.
I know. Everyone's oh, for fuck's sake, looking forward to a great big day out. And then you're like, yes.
The text came through. And I was obviously, that was the day we weren't actually at Eurodisney that day. We were in Paris and we're having a bit of lunch. I'm sitting with a beer and the text came through, it gave off, and I was like, yeah, dancing bear. Absolutely.
Still no word on when the game's going to be rescheduled to yet, is there?
Oh, there was a wee bit of chat on Saturday that it might be as late as March, wherever.
Really?
Everything else is going on in February. The only caveat to that, though, could be, so obviously we don't want this scenario, but if Falkirk and Dunfermline both get parked out of the Scottish Cup this month, then there is a free weekend.
February the 14th, but that's Thursday, but I don't think.
I think it's the 10th or the 11th.
Right. Yeah.
If both teams, the Pars have got Partick away in this round, we're obviously away to Alloa. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're through. Who cares about Dunfermline, to be honest? But if we're through, then that's what we want, because obviously you want to progress in this cup. The club needs the cash. Scottish Cup's always good to get through as well. So hopefully it is March, if that's the case. I've no issue with March. That would be two games against them in the space of 7 or 8 weeks, if that's the case, towards the end of the season. And it could be, that could be a game changer as well.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, if those go games come close to each other, you know, because if you win the first one, I mean, the thing is, you lose the first, first one at that point in the league, you're done. You know what I mean? We see what happens between now and then. But you would think, right, if we lose against Dunfermline, and we're discounting Edinburgh, who are still in and about it, by the way. And I was looking at the table, and we'll get into this a bit later on. They've scored 42 goals, Edinburgh, this season.
No, listen, I think we're at the stage now where they do need to be taken seriously. And it's not that you and I have slagged them off, because I think I've enjoyed the games that we've played against Edinburgh. Obviously, yeah, we've done well. But, listen, they're up there in merit, and you never know. Obviously, it would have been nice if they took a bloody point off them.
I know, that would have been good and sad.
But it is what it is. But I think, yeah, you're right, we can't discount Edinburgh at all. So it'll be a tense, tight end of the year, I think.
It will be. And obviously, we've got Aloha just about every other week between now and then as well. So we've got that building up. But it is January, Ross. So I thought we'd start a new feature to start the show. And I'm going to call it Benny T's Corner, as we look at some of the rumours happening at the Falkirk Stadium. And if I hear that rightly now, is that the sound of fish frying in the background? Yes, it is. As we're in Benny T's Corner, because obviously Benny T's, any rumour happening around the Falkirk Stadium always starts with spotted at Benny T's. So one person who hasn't been spotted Benny T's, and we looked at the team sheet on Saturday, and we heard from John McGlynn prior to the match that Juan Alegría had returned to Colombia. Now, the rumours at Benny T's are that he's not coming back.
Yeah, that was a lot of chat on Saturday at the stadium. So, you know what it's like, rumour mills. Benny T's is obviously a hive of activity. But, which would be a massive bit of business for us if we lost him. If he's not coming back to the club, is he coming back to Scotland? Is he going back to Rangers? Who knows? There's loads of unanswered questions. Hopefully we'll get an answer to that this week, because I think John McGlynn did.
He alluded to something, but he didn't.
He alluded to the fact that there would be a new, like, something would be said about it. So it does certainly suggest that it's not just like a. Because if it was a family member who unfortunately passed away, then he would have said that, or he would have said, oh, he's needing some family time. But that's not really how it's been positioned. So it'll be interesting to see.
I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, his flatmate, we all know, is Mr. Morelos over at Rangers.
Yeah.
And you think, wonder if there's, he's maybe on his way out of Ibrox, you know, or he certainly is going to be, looks like, in the next 6 months. And if he's thought, well, I'm not going to have my Colombian pal here, I'll just cut my losses now, get back to Colombia. But I mean, obviously Rangers would have to be involved in this chat as well, in this discussion. So it's really interesting to see what happens here, and hopefully we'll get an answer to that question. But rumours flying at Benny T's at the moment is that he's went back to Colombia for good, which is not a good, because I thought he had a very slow start to his Falkirk career, but he's just really grown as a player, and I think I really like him. I really like him as a footballer. I really like him. You know, he offers you something that we don't have, is that back to goal striker, and I think he's done well. He's got goals when he's needed to. Like I say, slow start, but yeah, he's really come into it.
If he's not coming back, he's going to be a miss, John. And it's another position for John to try and get a player in. He was probably already looking for one anyway. So could that be two forwards that we're maybe now trying to find?
One such person could be a striker by the name of Tony Weston, who is also a Rangers loanee, currently was on loan at Partick Thistle, and he's returned to his parent club, Rangers. 1-19 for him. Most of his appearances, I think he's had one start, which was actually against us at Stadium. Most of it's come off the bench, but he's certainly one that's been talked about as coming into the club. I've seen rumours of him.
Yeah, saw that as well. Not a great goal scoring record, but it's obviously mostly subs. What was interesting was Partick have put a statement out saying that they were quite happy to keep him. So it's Rangers' call to bring him back. So whether they think he could get more game time somewhere else, i.e. Falkirk or elsewhere, then that could be the case. Did I read that this guy scored an absolute barrel load of goals in the Lowland League last year?
Yeah, I think it might be, yeah.
So if that's the case, he obviously, that the current stats with Partick maybe don't tell sort of his recent form that well, but League One's not the Championship in terms of quality of standard, so it might be that, like, let's face it, Thistle fans slagged Allegri off before he signed for us. So maybe that's going to how it's going to go with this guy as well. So just again, we'll need to wait and see. But I think John McGlynn did intimate that we might have a player or two in this week.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. On that as well, a name that was flying around the stadium was a guy called Joe McGlynn from Burnley as well. That was another striking option. That was a name doing the rounds at the stadium. Don't know what's happening there. I don't know if it's a go or not, but yeah, it was certainly one of the names. I don't know. I'm assuming he's not a relation to John McGlynn, Joe McGlynn, or it's just complete coincidence. But you don't know.
Although you never know. But yeah, I saw that one as well. He looked a decent sized lad, like tall and bulky, and a sort of John McGlynn type signing, to be honest. So maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think there's obviously a relationship down at Burnley because Connor, former media guy, he's, did everything around the Cup. Connor, he's down there now. So, you know, who knows about that? But I don't know how involved in the football side of things or if it's just coincidence, you know. But certainly, Joe McGlynn was a name we heard around the stadium. And the other name we heard, Ross, Ewan Henderson from Hearts. Now, I always get confused because there's two Ewan Hendersons. The one that's at Hibs, who used to play for Celtic, who's Nicky's boy, and this is a different Ewan Henderson who plays for Hearts,
I believe. This is a different one. This guy, his name was floating about in the summer as well. I don't know if you remember us talking about him in the book, back at the, probably episode one or two, John. But he knows where the goals are as well. So I'd be really happy if we could get him because he's got a good pedigree. The only thing that might kind of kill that rumour is that Hearts seem to be losing players to injuries.
Yes,
every week they seem to be losing players, so it's whether he will be allowed out and loan this window. So they obviously didn't let him go in the summer either, but he would be a great signing for
have
us.
You heard anything else?
Not at all. I, do you know, it's been really, really tight, and that's not a bad thing, let's face it. Well, it is if for the purposes of us talking about rumours, but it's not a bad thing that the club seem to be a bit tighter with their chat these days. Those in the know are not told or are not in the know.
Loose lips sink ships, Ross. Loose lips sink ships.
So, listen, that's not a bad thing from the club's perspective. Yeah. And if we don't find out until the day we sign them or very close to the day of signing, then it's all going well. As you say, for the purposes of this, though, it's a wee bit dry.
Right, okay. The one other rumour that, you know, has been reported by the papers that Dundee are keen on Cal Morrison in this window. Now, Cal's on contract till the end of next season, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
So they're going to have to cut. I mean, I think that's going to put Dundee off, isn't it? I mean, no Scottish club's got money to invest in players, it seems, these days. But, I mean, if they are interested, I mean, he's got good numbers for Falkirk this season, and he'd be a big loss. He would be a big loss if he went out the door. But I guess in this, you know, world where we're looking for money, if Dundee were to come in with an offer, cash for Callum, I mean, would you take it at this point, or do you think it's too important to the squad?
I don't think he's irreplaceable, but I think he's, if we're going to get a bit of money for him, as long as that money was given to John McGlynn to utilise, if what we're told is true, that we don't now have this hole in the budget that we don't have to fill with selling players, then that would assume John McGlynn would get the money. But I think he's not irreplaceable, but he has contributed an awful lot. So I personally, I'd rather keep him than not. But if the deal is too good, as in money or loan player to us, plus money, maybe, because we've not had any weird, wacky deals like that for a long time. Remember, Jeffries used to be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, loved it. It was, well, I remember when it was who went out, and then Paul McGrillan and Stevie Kirk came in as well, and it was just, oh, yeah. Loved it.
It was that was one of the better ones, because Eddie May.
That's right. That's right.
We got Stevie Kirk, we got Paul McGrillan, and I'm sure they gave us money as
they
well.
They did. They did.
So we literally left them with nothing for Eddie May. So now that Jeffries was a proper wheeler dealer, I think John McGlynn's of that mould as well. Yeah, so yeah. I reckon if he can do a bit of business, I'm sure he will.
Yeah. So that's Benny T's corner for this week. If you hear anything, please drop us a DM or tweet us at FalkirkDaft, or get on the Facebook, drop us a message on there so we can report it in Benny T's Corner next week. Now let's move to the news, which is actual news. We'll just gloss over this one. Falkirk's women got beat 9-0 by Celtic in the Cup yesterday. But we'll just forget about that. You didn't make it to the game, did you, Ross?
No, I saw it advertised and we shared it on our socials as well. That sounds like a sore one. I think Celtic women's team are...
I mean, it's pretty much like the men's team, you know, you're great struggle.
I know. But we did get a bit of information sent to us, John, as well, because one of the seniors teams, one of the men's senior teams did really well, and they got a win yesterday, didn't they? So let's have a... don't know if we've got that noted, but we got a message in for Stevie Gibson yesterday. So the Falkirk Fit guys, so the FFIT, so that's the seniors, we got a 7-4 win yesterday against Edinburgh Giants.
Fantastic. Do you think, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to join them. I'd love to. I've got a few kilos I need to shed over Christmas. I'll be honest with you, Ross. I stood in the scales for the first time. I'm the heaviest I've ever been. I need to shed a few kilos. Maybe I should join up the Falkirk Fit team.
Listen, I'm sure you've got a bit of previous football experience as well, John. I think they would snap you up, buddy.
Oh, terrible player. But so I might have to speak to Stevie and the boys over there. But a good result for those boys. Just a couple of admin things. We've continuing our partnership with Grief Sport, and that's till 2025 now, June 2025. Now, I don't know, the Grief Sport thing, obviously it's a big sports shops and stuff in Glasgow, but I don't know where this deal's come from. Ross, you know a bit more about the commercial and merch side of things. Is this a good thing, or is this a bad thing, or is it just...
Well, I've used them in terms of, so since they came on board with the club last summer, I have used the postal facility, and it seems to work really smoothly.
I'm assuming the club are just doing it because, I mean, it's a lot of hassle, like dealing with orders, getting it out, all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of work, you know. I mean, we obviously, with our merch as well, we use a drop service as well. So it's presumably it kind of acts like that, where they'll get a cut.
Yeah, I think from memory, the standard retail sort of commission used to be 8-10%. So they're probably... so. Greaves will be making their money from the percentage of the sale plus the postage, which is always overpriced anyway.
Always marked up.
They'll be making money on that as well. But if it's working for the club and it's working for the punters, like, don't get... I think you're right. I think it's quite a lot of work, and focus. We've got quite a lot of overseas and fans and fans down south, so it probably helps them out as well. And if it helps, means the club can just kind of concentrate on the shop, which I think we heard from the O'Neills press release when that was done, that they're going to be kind of helping with the shop and stuff as well. So it might actually be that the shop at the stadium is going to start looking a bit better in terms of what's there and the options that's there. The website seems absolutely fine with Greaves. I think Greaves have actually got a tie-in with O'Neills as well, because they do Partick Thistle. I noticed that O'Neills and Greaves seem to have some sort of link in there as well. So hopefully that's going to be start a good bit of business. And I suppose the better the range, the better the options, the more money that the club can make from it. So,
of course. And another bit of news, following feedback from supporters, I think I'm putting the blame solely on you for this one, Ross. After the Queen of the South game, fans are all away supporters are now going to be housed in the North Stand, and that's obviously started with Montrose at the weekend. Now, is this due to your kickoff with the Queen of the South supporters in the game of 2022?
Yeah, hit me with this on Saturday, John, and it's not true. We were sitting over there, but that's nothing to do with us.
I believe there was a square goal planned at half-time, and this is what it's all come from. You've got your Stone Island on, you've like, come on, have a go if you think you're hard enough, see you down in the pie hut, half time, yeah. Queen of the South boys have shat it, and now as a result of this, we're opening up the North Stand. Is this what I've heard?
That's not quite the case.
All right, okay.
No, I think from what I've read online, so Jamie Sweeney was replying to a few different people on social media. So I think the Queen of the South game was the sort of third occasion where there's been a bit of bother between away fans and the Falkirk fans that normally sit at that end of the stadium. What doesn't help it probably is the fact that you're sharing pie huts and toilets and all that stuff as well. So there's probably a few flashpoints in there. So I think Jamie said it's not really going to cost the club much, if anything, more than what they had in place in the main stand to do that. So, and if that's the case, and it helps the fans that normally sit down that way, then fine. Going back to the Crew of the South game, I can understand why a lot of fans wouldn't like it, because we obviously moved along that way because the weather was absolutely ganting that night. So where we normally sit was absolutely like drenched. So we moved back a bit and along that end. And it was mostly young laddies who probably had a bit too much to drink. And they were having a go at almost everybody who's sitting along that way, including like the press boys and stuff. So I can understand why the club have acted in a way to do it. I don't mind it anyway. The away end should be the away end. I know for, like, it's not as if they had the full stand open either. I think on Saturday they had one section literally. Yeah. So it's hardly a lot of space that they need to sit in, like, man and watch and stuff. And they probably only had one pie hut open. So it makes sense. And obviously there'll be teams where it's needed anyway. So Airdrie and Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Probably about it in this league. Otherwise, the rest of the clubs will just have that one section open.
Yeah. Let's talk about the departures then. Since we last spoke, everyone seems to have piled out the door. Let's start off with Stevie Hetherington, headed to Arbroath on loan till the end of the season. Obviously, when he played against Falkirk for Alloa, looked a right good player and we're delighted when we signed him, but he's not really fulfilled his potential. Whether he was getting played out of position last season, he's just been underutilised, not had a run in the team this season. I don't know what it is. I always liked Stevie Hetherington. I always thought he put in a shift, but he just hasn't shown like we hoped he would.
No, he's not. And I think, nice guy, whenever I've heard him speaking, sort of hospitality, or when he's been getting interviewed by Lewis and Stuart and stuff, but probably the right player at the wrong time, because we need, in this league, we need players who are not only can have a bit of dig in them, but they can also move forward with the ball as well. He's got a lot of dig in him. I think he's decent at doing that. In fact, I'm sure he said that at one point, that his job at Alloa was literally just to sort of stop the attacks of teams like Falkirk, Dunfermline, Airdrie, and then give the ball to somebody who can do something with it. At Falkirk, the expectation was you win the ball and then you go and do something with it as well. He's just not been able to do that. So he's got a great move up the way. Obviously,
yeah, I know.
I don't know how long Arbroath will be in the Championship, obviously, with the way they're going just now, but he's got to step up, and it sounds like he's going to have a deal there next season too. So fair play to him. I don't think he's going to be a massive miss. He's probably on a decent wage, and hopefully John McGlynn will be able to use it properly.
Yeah, another one in midfield leaving, Seb Ross as well. Do you know where he's heading to, Ross, or has been any rumours? Has he signed for anyone yet? I've not seen that.
Signed for Forfar, right. Which is Ray McKinnon is up there. So he's obviously kept tabs on him. Good luck to him. Again, I don't think he was what was needed when we signed him. He obviously got a 2-year deal from Gary Holt, I think it was at the time. I don't think it was Sheeran. But yeah, just never really worked out for him. Never looked like nailing down a start. I think most of his starts, which I was shocked by the amount he had, were mostly at the beginning of last season. But good luck to him. Forfar, probably his level.
He's from up that way as well, so you know that probably makes sense to him. But yeah, good luck to Seb. The biggest name probably heading out the club has been our goalkeeper, Nicky Hogarth, who obviously had on loan from Notts Forest since the start of the season. He's went back to Notts Forest, and we kind of had an inkling near the end of 2022 when we saw PJ starting games, and we kind of thought maybe that's what was going to happen. But yeah, big loss to see Nicky go.
I think so. Disappointed. I would have kept him if we could, and maybe put Paddy Martin out on loan. But obviously, that's not to be. I think John McGlynn's intimated that there was maybe a change of circumstance with Nottingham Forest. They've maybe changed the goalposts, like, as in, listen, you can have him for another 6 months, but then you need to buy him, or something along those lines. I don't know, but it's disappointing because I think he was a really good keeper. I think he did really well for us. Not perfect. He was never I don't think he would ever say that he didn't look like.
I don't think he made any major mistakes.
No, I don't remember anything massive either. I would have definitely kept him. He would have been my number one for the rest of the season, but obviously not to be. I think PJ, we need to back him now. He did okay before his injury. He's took his time, kind of getting back into the swing of things. I think Saturday was his best game since coming back. But yeah, disappointing, Nicky, because obviously. Falkirk fan as well, family are big Bairns fans, and yeah, wish him luck.
Believe he's out of contract at the end of the season for Forest. Certainly worth keeping tabs on. And I don't think it'll be the last time we'll see him in a Falkirk shirt, if I'm honest.
I hope not, but you just wonder about the salary that he might be on. John,
yeah,
Darwin.
Well, that's true.
I've no idea what a fourth or fifth
Premiership goalie,
Premiership rated goalkeeper would be on. Yeah. But it's probably not £500 a week. So, but then you never know. He might want to come back north. It's his team. Maybe the money he's on down there isn't as silly as we may think it is in our heads. So, there maybe would be a chance I'd love him back at Falkirk at some point.
Yeah. And coming in the door, we saw him on Saturday. We'll get into the game just in a minute. Blaine Roque on loan to Coventry, and it's a right back, everyone. It's a right back. Fantastic.
Yeah, he did well on Saturday. I know we're going to talk about it, but I thought he did really well on his debut. As you say, it's a right back. Hopefully, he's not injury prone. I know he has had an injury last season with Ayr United when he was on loan there. So hopefully, that's.
We don't need another injury prone right back. We certainly don't. We've got the PE teacher. He must be doing classes at the moment. In fact, I wonder if he's signed off the school and all at the moment.
I bet he'll be on strike tomorrow too.
He'll be on strike tomorrow.
Primaries are on strike, aren't they, tomorrow?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, delighted to get him on board. He comes across really well in his interview with the Falkirk TV, and did really well on Saturday as well.
Well, talking about Saturday, we'll get into the game. Let's talk Montrose at home. And we always do that in the company of a guest pundit. So please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Elsa Fantini. I like that.
Nobody cheered.
I like that. The big cheer for yourself. How you doing, Elsa? You all right?
I'm good, thanks, John. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. Listen, we like to ask everyone, you know, what's your Bairns story? How did you get into Falkirk? That's the kind of first question.
Well, you might start to pick up from my accent. I'm a West Coaster, so born and brought up in Ayr in the 70s, and I'm what you call probably a mongrel. My dad's Italian, my mum's Scottish, Irish. Descent, and the Italian side of the family from Naples, and the Scottish side of the family from Ayr, around that area.
So Falkirk's the obvious choice.
Oh, Falkirk's the obvious choice, but we'll get there. But long story short, my dad had a keen interest in football, supported the local team. When he had the opportunity, went to Somerset Park to see Ayr United, and the kind of early memories I have as a kid is him heading off New Year's Day to the Derby to watch us play those miserable gits from up the A77. Sorry, Kilmarnock. I always used to say the best thing to come out of Kilmarnock was the road to Ayr, but there we go. Long time ago. But I suppose my love of football came from him. He was never very partisan. I think he just saw the game as something really beautiful to be enjoyed. And I think that came from, although Napoli was his team, he really loved AC Milan when they were in their heyday, and Hula and all of that. And that's probably where I got it from. So I'm one of these people that loves just watching football. I'll not watch any old shite, but I do like just, if there's someone on the telly, I'll watch it, to be honest. But grew up in I suppose my mum's side of the family were all kind of Celtic daft. My brother was a season ticket holder at Darkhead. So I was a Celtic fan, but not a supporter. Mm. And where it came to the challenge was I'd worked for a bank. That's where Ross and I first kind of knew each other. And I'd been travelling around, working away and various things. And I'd been down in Manchester for 4 years and came back up to Scotland in the late 90s, and I made my base in Pullman. I moved there just to give me a good place to live that was close to Edinburgh where I worked and close to the place where my family were. And my pal Fiona Bryan, we mentioned for you, hope you're listening, but Fiona was the person that got me into it. She's a born and bred Bairn, sold programmes at Brockville. And she's just said to me, "Use a lot of all glory hunters. You Old Firm fans, you know what you're like, you're just glory hunters." And I put my money where my mouth is, and I bought a season ticket for the first season.
Oh, wow.
But up in the Premier League. So that was Yogi, and I can still remember Neil Scally spending more time rolling about in the pitch than he did actually doing anything.
Love it. Don't you slag off Scally in this programme, by the way.
I think I figured out that season was it three home wins we had? And it worked out that I'd actually been cheaper buying a Chelsea season ticket to get that number of home wins. Do you know what I mean? But I think that was where it really cemented it. That first season coming and realising what a community club it was, how such, I think being part of something felt really good rather than being a really remote fan, if that makes sense, for a team that was a family thing rather than anything real. And because I lived in Pullman, it just seemed a natural choice. So I never looked back. So that's my story.
See, for one dreadful moment, Elsa, I thought you were going to say it was Ross that convinced you to become a Falkirk supporter. I thought you got this.
Once Ross and I get talking, and Alan came into the conversation, well, maybe Alan Lee, so we don't tell him that. Once Ross and I get talking, I realised I'd made the right choice, to be fair.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough. Right, okay, so Neil Scally's your favourite player of all time then? Is I'll write that down then?
That'll be a no. Never not happening.
Go on then, who is it?
Oh, that's a really difficult one. I've got a real soft spot for Will Volks.
Oh.
Because I came after the, I mean, Latipi goes without saying, but that's an obvious choice for that time when he was at Falkirk, and just loved seeing that wee magician. And I think back to the players, though, who for me never had made the best of what they had, even if they weren't the most gifted players. The one that sticks in my mind is actually Darren Barr. He's probably the first player I felt I really got behind as a player, because he never gave up. You know, I can remember him, you know, I better remember reading up about him and hearing that he started up front and then realised he'd made his way right the way through to the back of the team. But actually, never had. I still remember that season with Kenny Milne when we finished seventh. I remember how with the split, we were more points than Hibs, but we were on
in
seventh.
Sure,
I think we had the leanest defence outside the Rangers and Celtic that season, and that for me said it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant choice, Elsa. Can I just ask you, I'm going to try and resist it, Elsa, but has the film...
I was just going to wait, you're going to do Frozen, aren't you?
I know, has the film Frozen been the bane of your life since its release?
Yes, and I'll explain why. So when you started your pish patter on the Twitter feed, I went, no, I thought I'd escaped all this. my nephew, who's seven, has been finding this hilariously funny since the day he started watching Frozen as a wee tot. So every time he'd see me, and particularly during Zoom calls over lockdown, because my brother lives with his family down in Essex, I'd be getting, ha, Elsa, no chance. He just thought it was hilarious that I looked nothing like Princess Elsa, funnily enough.
Well, I'll try and keep the Frozen jokes, but for the first time in forever, you are the first woman on them. I'll see how many I can get in throughout the chat.
Just a side swipe, the Frozen chat. I've got a Darren Barr, very quick story. So literally, and this is a recent story as well. So as you know, I was recently on holiday and we're coming off the plane. And you know how you can see the people waiting to go on the plane? Darren Barr was there with his family. So he's obviously been in Paris or been at Disneyland or whatever with his kids, and he was covered. And I felt like, you know, there's glass in between, so he's not going to hear me. And I'm trying to think, oh, do I say something? Do I try and say something? And I thought, no, I'm not going
to. I could have been at, like, The Graduate. Have you ever seen The Graduate, Ross, at the end when Dustin Hoffman's banging on the glass? Like that? Darren! Darren!
I've got a wee story like with Will Volks, because it was one of the Hibs games. We played them at Easter Road. And I saw him at the front of the stand, and I could not wait. I was pushing people out my way to go and get my picture. I've got this picture on my phone with me with the biggest cheeser hanging on to him, and he's looking at me, who's this mad woman? Seriously?
Brilliant.
So, I'm glad you didn't leave your senses. I'm proud of you, Ross. I'm proud.
Right, okay, we'll get into the game from Saturday then, and I'll try and stop the Frozen puns, that I won't promise that. Right, okay, so it was a slight change team from the Queen of the South game. We had Blaine Rowe making his debut for Brad Mackay. Allegria, we've discussed already, way back to Columbia, so Gary Oliver came in for him. And Liam Henderson moved into midfield for Finn Yeats. I don't know about you, Elsa, but me and Ross were in the pub before the match, and when we saw the name Gary Oliver, my heart sank.
I have to be honest. I thought, please don't play in midfield, and I couldn't figure out where he was going to be, and I thought he's going to be playing up front then. And we signed him as an attacker, but I wasn't sure whether or not it was the right thing. I felt he came off the last game with his head down. I can remember a few seasons ago when we had Peyton, And somebody had put on one of the social media feeds, if Peyton is the answer, what is the question? And I have felt like that for some time about Gary Oliver.
I said that exact same thing on Saturday.
I could not figure it out. Why is he playing in midfield? But if I reflect back on something that John McGlynn said at the beginning of the season when he came in and he looked at the player profile, we had too many similar players. It just felt like we were repeating the same thing. The definition of madness is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So when I saw Hendo as a sitting midfielder, I went, get in!
Yeah. What do you make of Liam Henderson in midfield, Ross?
I thought
he did really well, because obviously he came on the Queen of the South game as a sub, did really well in that role, scored as well. I thought he played really well on Saturday. Could have had a hat-trick as well with the chances he had. He kept trying to do the same thing. Like, it was like placing it as slow as he could into one of the corners. Just melt it. You're a big lad. Just put your boot through it. And I think he would have scored. But I was delighted that he was in the midfield rather than Gary Oliver. I know Gary Oliver got a bit of a clap when he came off. I think I was in the minority. I thought he did okay. He ran about, but he didn't really.
He does put in a shift, Gary Oliver. You've got to say, it's one thing he does put in as a shift. But he didn't really affect the game at all, did he, Elsa? Or did you?
No, and it's kind of funny because I think last week's, the last podcast, we were talking about Aidan and whether or not he affects the game. He did, because he's playing in a position that works for him. He's not having to backtrack and go and stand beside McGinn and do the dirty stuff, which he's no good at. So you can't have them both ends. So for me, having Hendo in there made such a difference for that. But I don't know whether or not, I mean, I don't know what kind of striker Gary Oliver was before he came to Falkirk, but it doesn't strike me as being a natural fit in there. And I was kind of surprised that Burrow wasn't starting, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think that surprised everyone. But I mean, let's talk about Blaine Rowe. It could have been, I think, and I don't know if this ever happened before, but he could have been the first Falkirk player to score with his first touch ever in a Bairns shirt. This is the big debate. Was it over the line? Was it not? I still cannot tell. McGlynn didn't complain about it. Aidan Nesbitt didn't think it was over the line. For me, it looked... you could see the...
At the time, I was sitting there going tonto because I thought, this is over the line. When I watched the highlights back, as you say, you can't really tell. It was difficult to tell.
But what I said, the roof of the net rippled. So I don't know if it's hit the roof of the net and then spun back. It was a very strange one. But, Blaine Rowe, imagine what a story that would have been. First touch for your club. And that, I don't think that has never happened in the history of Falkirk, that someone scored with their first touch for the club,
surely. I wouldn't have thought so. It's one for somebody to message in if they know of one. But off the top of my head, I can't think of another player scoring with a first touch.
Was it in, Ross?
It looked in, John. Obviously, at the time, you and I were going absolute bananas at the linesman who got it tight from everybody.
We're going to get onto the officials in a bit. We'll get into that in a bit. But, oh,
I'm
Jesus.
I'm making my Tourette's go again. My Twitch is going because you've mentioned
the officials. But, yeah, I think, you know, like you're saying, Liam Henderson in midfield, Elsa, did. I think we saw Aidan Nesbitt had one of his best. In fact, is that his best game in a Falkirk up top? I don't know. Two goals to the good for him, though. And, you know, he took them well. He took them well. He was constant threat, as you said, Elsa. But it seemed like there was a bit more pressure off his shoulders. And whether he was having a very loud game, he was having a steak day. Cal was having a wee bit of a chicken day on the other side. But you're gonna get that. I mean, we took the lead quite rightly, but they had a big chance from that number seven from 5 yards, which worried me.
I was a wee bit worried. I thought our defence, I think part of the thing as well is I hope he doesn't try and shoehorn Hendo back in at defence. I'd just like to see Mackie and Donaldson just getting a run and building a partnership. I thought at the beginning of the season we looked more solid, and I just think it's back to that thing again. You just stop prattling about, just leave it. Brad McKay's not the answer for me in there either, being honest with you. But that's just my own opinion.
Brad McKay is not the answer to any question.
So I think for me, I'd like to see a settled back four. I agree with you. I thought the new guy did brilliantly. I thought he was fabulous. And I think if it hadn't been for Aidan scoring two goals, I think he could have been man of the match for me.
Yeah. I mean, another name you can throw in there is Kai Kennedy as well, who had again, when you talk about games and Falkirk tops, he was brilliant. That run from the halfway, and you're just willing that to go on because it could have been one of our goals.
I have to be honest, when he when he, I thought he'd gone too far when he'd been charging into the box for the goal. And I thought, you're greedy. I was shouting, greedy. I thought, decision making again. So when it broke to Nesbitt and he scored, I thought, thank the Lord. But I've got a Kennedy for me. It's that whole thing about decision making. I think you guys have talked about it every week, whether it's been Callum Morrison or Aidan Nesbitt or McGuffey. It doesn't matter. It's decision making. And that for me is still the thing that it's that greed versus do the right thing that I'd like them to just keep working on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you saw the Montrose team, and my mate, they had a lot of injuries, a lot of suspensions, and you could see that in the goals where you had the young boy who was a very, very small man, like Dennis Wise and I'm celebrities. He's a very small man. But
I thought it was like their father Ted, I think, where they had the cows in the distance. That's perspective. Small.
The goalkeeper is far away.
But we were shouting for like almost the full game until Nesbitt scored. Why aren't we throwing like high shots in at this boy? And then the first time we do it, we score.
Right. I mean, Nesbitt said in his interview, he wouldn't have shot if he hadn't scored that first goal. And it took a bit of deflection, but yeah, I mean, he was a wee small boy, and bless him. To be fair, he had some very good saves, and I think he did his club proud. But yeah, he must have been just out of school.
He looked very young and very small. Did someone say that Montrose had like a 16-year-old keeper on the bench?
I looked into this. It's the boy Larter, who I think he was maybe the goalkeeping coach or was on the wind-up, but it was a wind-up that. I checked the bench, Ross, before we came on here, because that can't be right.
Can't be right, no. As you said, he did really well for like a boy of his size and stature with the shots that were getting pung in at him.
Yeah.
Eventually. I don't think we did enough to test them in the first half, if I'm being honest, especially because the shots we did have, we were either doing them low and hard or low and soft. Right. And it's just like we weren't
missing them all together in Liam's case.
So, yeah, no, he did well.
I mean, talking goalkeepers as well, we went 1-0 up, and then second came, you know, like we said, quite quickly after half time. Big chance for Montrose when they went 1-1, when we had a chance at one end and they broke. Big save from PJ. What did you make of PJ's performance, Elsa?
I think he needs a run of games. I think he's a really solid keeper, and I think it's really difficult when you've got somebody like Hogarth who's come in, you know, family connections to the club, the emotional tie then, that everybody's going to go, oh, this guy's not good enough. And I think we need to give him a chance. I think he was better than anything else we had last season. It wouldn't be hard, mind. But for me, the whole injury situation when he got brought in and loan, and I was glad when he came back. So I think I'd just like to see the guy get a run of games and a solid back four in front of him that doesn't chop and change. And then they can start to build a bit of understanding. Because if you look at our goal scoring record, I think generally it's up there, but our goal difference is going to be our Achilles heel. Because, you know, you look at them across the way, it's their defensive record that's holding them up in the top of the league right now. And if our record was as good as theirs, we'd be in top spot.
No, I mean, I think it's just, we look at to their game against Edinburgh, and it was a 1-0. Apparently they were poor, they scored a good goal, but that's it. But, I mean, like you say, Elsa, 4th, 28th in Fairmont against 11th, then you look at us, we've got against 23. And Edinburgh's just a madhouse because they've got like 30 against and scored 42. So they're like just...
I think they're playing basketball, no football, but...
It seems that them and Airdrie are just, just like... You don't know what's going to happen between the two of them. I mean, 2-0 up, we're kind of going well. There was a wee mistake from Leon Henderson in midfield that almost let Rory McAllister in. Again, Henderson, I think you're right. I think he's better in midfield, but you always feel he's just got a wee mistake in him when he just switches off now and again, Ross. But midfield, the right position for him?
I think so now. As Elsa said earlier on, I think Mackie, although Mackie's got wee like head rush moments where he just thinks he's like Zidane, takes 10 players on and then you find them on right wing like we did on Saturday at points. But I think Mackie, in terms of the defenders we've got available, I'd stick with what we've got just now. Mackie and Donaldson is the pairing. McCann is just undroppable. Yeah. Just the boy
Rouse. Quiet, he's quiet on Saturday there, right enough.
Well, we talked about this, Joe. I think it was quieter.
Because we've got now a natural right back.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't as much pressure on him to form up and down the left side. And it probably gave Montrose something to think about as well, because if they'd been watching previous games, we did rely on McCann probably too heavily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for mixing up, I would agree, though, until maybe Paul Watson. But then Paul Watson, if he comes back, he's a right-sided centre-half, and would you drop Donaldson for him? Probably not.
No, I don't think you would. I mean, Blaine Rowe, I think, as Elsa said at the start, had a very good game. I thought, like, defensively, he did his job going forward, got some decent balls into the box as well, and it's good to have a proper right-back again.
I think I agree with Ross. I think it just totally changes the shape of the team, and I suppose it changes the plays. If you look at our last six or seven games, to your point, Ross, everything came through McCann. And if it wasn't coming through him, where was it coming from? Because it wasn't coming from anywhere else. So actually now we've got two sides. And I'm hoping that that will mean that Morrison will come on a bit. He needs to build a kind of understanding and start to build that form back that we know he's got. Here's hoping that we've now got the basics in here. But I would love to see another really good gnarly wee midfielder coming in, if I'm being honest with you. I think we need something else
like
that.
A dirty wee centre mid.
I mean, Stephen McGinn had a big chance as well when he went through. McGinn, I thought he was quieter, but he seemed to settle down a wee bit because he was having some dodgy games. But I thought Stephen McGinn did what he had to do. It was on Saturday there as well. So all in all, I mean, you look at the team, there wasn't that many failures in the team. Where you would say maybe the failures, it's again the last couple of, just the switching off again, the concentration. We talked about it, Ross. It's just this Falkirk have this tendency, and they've done it. You saw against Queen of the South that mad few minutes where they switched, and it's the concentration, and we couldn't see out the 2-0 win. I mean, what do you put it down to? I mean,
I think it is just concentration levels, and I'm sure John will be hammering them when they go back in, because in fact you saw his reaction when they did score. I think had they scored 5 or 6 minutes prior to that, it could have been an even worse end to the game, to be honest, because they would have just thrown everything at us. But lack of concentration, maybe getting a wee bit cocky, thinking we've got more time than we have on the ball as well.
Agree, Elsa?
Totally. I think that's the one thing I do think. When we think we've got it won, we end up slowing the ball down, and it's wrong. We need to keep the pace up.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought was a bit strange from McGlynn, I kind of get it at a conceptual level, but I don't understand the change in formation where you're like 89 minutes in the clock and bringing Brad McKay on, because I couldn't help thinking when I look back on the... I couldn't tell, but it looked like the defence almost opened up. So some of that was down to concentration, but there's almost a bit that says, who's marking? They didn't even know who was doing what.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, because that, you know, like you say, that's the goal came not long after Brad came on. And, you know, if you say, Ross, if come earlier, you know, with our record against Montrose, and it was great to get that monkey off the back, by the way. I think that's our first win against them in 7 or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
I have to say, though, I don't think we've ever looked like beating them.
No. Yeah. No, we've not.
No, and we certainly did there on Saturday. Should we talk about Graham beating in his linesman?
Feels sick.
Do you know, I've probably chilled out a bit over the weekend, but at the time, I don't think I've seen a worse refereeing, and I include his linesman in this, I don't think I've seen a worse refereeing performance ever. And he was equally bad for Montrose as well.
I mean, you could argue Aidan Nesbitt's tackle on the run-up to his second goal. I mean, as a Falkirk supporter, you would be up to that. I think he won the ball cleanly, I'll be honest with you, and I don't think there's enough of that in the game now, that, you know. But at the same time, it was a strong tackle to win the ball for his second. So you're right, Ross. He was bad for both sides, I think.
It was honking. Some of the decisions like that, that shot in the second half that everybody heard take a knock off the defender. Like, you heard that, you saw it, and both him and the linesman just went, no, goal kick. What?
It was
obviously, it wasn't just that. There was the phantom goal. There was booking players that he should have booked, but he didn't. Then he booked players that probably didn't deserve a booking. Decision-making was awful. The list is endless. There was, do you know, the refs at this level have been really poor, and I think every week we've said the refs are really poor, but yeah, this guy was just consistently poor. Like, the refs have been maybe having one or two things where you go, oh, what's he doing there? But this, like, almost every decision was wrong.
And I think it wasn't much better from where you were sitting, Elsa.
Dross. It's not often I agree with every word that Ross says, but I agree with every word you're saying there.
I'm going to agree with you just there, Elsa, because see, going back to your point about the John McGlynn dicking about with the formation, you're absolutely bang on. This came up in the pub after that, actually. Big Monroe, who's a Elliott's regular, he chinned me after the game, and he said the exact same thing. The defence, the centre halves were at sixes and sevens because of this formation change. Why he felt the need to bring Brad Mackay on to do that? Like, because did they not bring him on before they even scored?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the 89 minutes or something like that. It was literally a minute before it, and I'm going.
Yeah. And they were looking at each other, and Big Monroe said the same thing. He was like, they didn't know what they were doing. That led to this confusion in the defence. So it was the wrong sub for me. And I know we backed John loads, but I think he did get that bit wrong.
Yeah. And what will we hear from the manager right now? Here is John McGlynn.
John, a good win today.
No such thing as a bad win. You know, it's a good win. Of course it's a good win, you know. Montrose are always a difficult team to play against, and they never give up. They never give up, and they push bodies forward. They're not to lose. You know, they're 2-0 down, no enough lot of time to go. But the overall performance, I felt, was really good. I mean, we've not played for 15 days. You know, they've managed to continue playing. And I thought we created some really good chances. We played some really, really good football. I think for a neutral coming in, that was a really, really good game. They had a little chance at the back post, Webster. Ball initially got played in behind Callum, it got put in, it came back out, Steve's heads it, and they've got a chance. And then no long after that, we take the lead. Delighted for Aidan. He's got his two goals today. Does get a little bit of banter from myself and probably one or two others with regards to no scoring since the Hibs game. Went some time. Delighted for him and the whole team. So he's involved in the move. We've created a really, really good move, and when it ricochets, breaks for him, he's the one who's there to stick it in the ball in the back of the net. Great start to the second half, coming out the traps, and again a great strike from distance. So delighted for him and the whole team. We had other chances in the first half. I thought the young goalkeeper made some really, really good saves, and kept Montrose in the game, because I think we could have killed them off in the second half. In transition, breaking very, very quickly and creating good chances. I thought Blaine, that's his first game in a couple of months. I thought he was excellent. He's almost put us in front after about 2 or 3 minutes, getting out the back post. So again, he showed his athleticism to get forward, to get up there. And, you know, another day it goes in. But throughout the game, I thought he was a threat, getting forward. He put in some great balls, some terrific crosses, one in the second half in particular that Steve McGinn's got to. And Stephen got to it, and actually he's trying to tee himself up, and it maybe took too long, and he's got blocking it, but the cross in was fantastic. And so I can see, you know, him doing really well. That's his first game in, say, 2 months. And at the same time, you know, he's playing like academy football, under 21 football down there, and it's not the same as playing in a League One game here in Scotland. So he's only going to get better. It's a little bit frustrating to lose a goal at the end, you know, a little bit frustrating. But it is what it is, you know, we lost it, but we didn't really see us losing a goal, but it is what it is. So, delighted with the 3 points, delighted the midfield. Thought Hendo had made some great headers in the box, and he got himself forward and had some goal attempts on another day. You know, strikes the ball better, because he does strike the ball well. He gets himself a goal. Two wingers did really, really well again. There's a boom of it moving the first half. I don't know entirely how many players were involved in it. A great move, which Liam Henderson comes on to, and he kind of side foots it by the post with his right foot instead of, you know, getting a right good shot on it. And so, yeah, overall, really good performance. Gary Oliver did a really, really good shift up top. And when he goes off, then Romarin comes on, he worked his socks off, he closes the goalkeeper down, he works the defenders. And we just probably just need that other goal to give us a, you know, we've got a 2-goal cushion, I think, you know. Probably just need that other goal, and you know, it would have been the icing on the cake. But delighted with the win after a break. We're at home next week again against Clyde, So already, you know, turn our attentions to that.
It was 3:44 for one question, McGlynn, this week, and McGlynn watch, and there's no such thing as a bad win. Poor Lewis. Got his pants pulled down right at the start.
I hadn't watched that since Saturday, so that's the first I saw it. So I think we all had the same reaction when he said that, though.
Poor Lewis. Good win. There's no such thing as a bad win. Poor Lewis.
The thing is, Elsa, see, John and I obviously were lucky that John and Paul came on, but you were very careful as to what you said to him and how you said it.
Yeah, and I think the start of it when we basically said, haha, well, we're just about having a bit of fun. Hope it's not too much fun. All right, okay. Not going to be too daft, John.
I thought that podcast was one of my favourites just because you don't often get access to the management team.
No, you don't.
From a fan's point of view, and to hear it. So I think for me it was great. I'm a Billy, you guys. I'm a big fan of McGlynn, and I still think, you know, we'll have more bumps, but he's still the man for me.
100%.
I mean, he didn't. Everything we've sort of talked about, he pretty much covered in that interview with just the one question. But you know, one thing I was going to ask about, Elsa, you'll have an opinion on this. Aiden was obviously, in his post match interview, he was getting gypped for not scoring. He did the ear cupping thing. Now I hate footballers. I wasn't too sure if he was. Ross has the opinion that he was doing it to the Montrose bench. I was the opinion that he was doing it to supporters, but now I'm hearing John, I wonder if he was doing it to the Falkirk bench, like, just as a bit of a wind-up.
I didn't think it was directed at the fans, personally. I'm not fussed at it myself, but I equally get why footballers do it, because the amount of shit they take from the stands is unbelievable.
Yeah, Aiden's had a bit
human, of... And he's taken his fair share. He's never hidden in any game, even if it's a crap game, he doesn't hide. So for me, I didn't take it as it coming at the fans. I didn't know where it went. So when McGlynn said that there, I did wonder whether or not it was actually his own teammates to say, got it.
That's what I kind of think, because I hate footballers that cup their ears to the supporters. Get yourself in the bin, man. And I mean, Aiden has, as Elsa said, taking stick on here, to be fair.
He's taking plenty of stick. I thought it was against the Montrose bench, though, because they were...
Oh, my God. See, Stuart Petrie and Ian Campbell.
Moan, and on the pitch as well. I don't know if you noticed, what's their number 9 again?
Gordon Callister.
Aye, he never shut up the whole game. I'm sure the Lino's ears were bleeding.
Yeah.
Aye, so but it wasn't directed. We'll let Aiden off for that one. It wasn't directed at the supporters, we don't think. We'll let him off for that one. Actually, do you know what? I looked at the statistics for the match, and possession-wise, and this was surprising to me, we only had 46% as opposed to Montrose had 54. I mean, obviously...
I wouldn't have thought that.
Obviously, chances created, we created 16 shots to their 9 and on target was 7 to their 5. But I would not, possession-wise, I wouldn't have had that down at all. Because I thought we looked relatively comfortable apart from that switch off at the end.
I think one of the things, it's funny reading the comments after the game on Saturday, but I'd like to see that kind of performance more often. I think we're the best footballing team in the league. I've seen everybody. By a stretch, but I think we need to win the battle first. And I think sometimes if you take even that home game to Dunfermline, it was like we didn't turn up, but they just fought. It's the same kind of, if they've not got the aptitude to play good football, they're just going to be really round the edges of it, as I call it. Montrose have always been like that. There's just a wee bit of streetwiseness to them that we don't seem to have, and there was a bit of that on Saturday. So the fact that we didn't have as much possession doesn't really bother me, as long as I can see that we're using the ball in a better way.
Yeah, no, you're right, Elsa. Let's talk about what everybody else thought about the match. John says thought the team played well. Roe had an excellent row. Is it Row or Roe? Blaine Row or Blaine Roe?
Roe.
Right, we'll go with Roe. Roe had an excellent game. Calm and composed for making his debut, and I like the fact that he gets his head up and wants to play forward. Kennedy looking stronger each week, and McGinn looks more comfortable with Hendo in beside him.
I totally agree with that, actually, and that was a point I should have made earlier on. I actually think that's why Aiden Nesbitt had a better game, because he had Henderson and McGinn
in
behind him, so he wasn't really tasked with breaking up play or doing the sort of dirty side of it. He was able to concentrate, so it'll be interesting to see if that continues now. Grant says, pretty poor for the first hour, despite scoring a couple of goals. Once we got into the last 25 minutes or so, there was only ever going to be one winner. Deserved to win by at least a few more, but made hard work of it, as we always do, against what has been a bit of a bogey team for us.
Yeah, Ali's going, I'm liking our defence more. I think Mackie is underrated, going back to what Elsa was saying. I think Mackie's underrated in all dirty and disruptive stuff he does. Still makes a few mistakes, but think the more they all play together, the better they'll be.
100%. Yep. Lewis says, the worst refereeing display possibly ever. Good to see Nesbitt finally contribute positively. That's harsh. Though cupping his ears at the fans was poor. Obviously, we now know that probably wasn't the case. Definitely need a couple more bodies up top.
Yeah. Donald's going with great 3 points, considering Montrose missed two huge chances and our second could have been disallowed for a foul by Nesbitt. Great debut for the new right back, who can only get better. And Nesbitt display best of the season. Falkirk Dafty has got to be referee beaten.
I think that might be the case when we talk. Cal says, fan-fucking-tastic today. Played them off the park. Nizzy had a great game. Nizzy, is this a new nickname?
No. Yeah, we're going with Nizzy. We're going with Nizzy.
And I have to give him a shout out. I saw someone who is a regular tweeter. got a brilliant name as well, Willie Stroker, which is definitely not his real name. But he called him Nessie, as in like Messi. And I saw that sad tonight, so fair play. He says, Nizzy had a great game, a few shaky moments by the team, but that doesn't matter. 3 points is 3 points. Blaine Rowe looks really good, and the ref and the two linesmen were ranked rotten. Nothing new at the Falkirk Stadium.
Yeah, no, right. I quite like Nessie. That's quite good. If he continues like he did on Saturday, we'll go with Nessie. Brian says, we always complain about the refs. I saw Brian's on this. I put up on the Twitters like slagging off the refs, but Brian's come back and said, we always complain about the refs. Positives, Rao very good, Nezzy and Hendo great. Feel better about the keeper. Let's keep positive and catch the Fifers. I like that positivity, Brian.
Graham says, once again, we made heavy weather of it. Hendo missed 3 decent chances to make things comfortable. PJ much better than of late. Mackie honking in defence.
I can't say to
Kennedy, man of the match. Nesbitt further forward, which helped. Oliver or Burrell couldn't do much as we're too isolated.
Yeah, Burrell, when he came off the bench, didn't have much to work off, if I'm honest with you. He ran about daft as he does. Would you start Burrell over Oliver against Clyde, either of you? Or would you stick with Oliver in there? In the mind, we know how slow Clyde's defence is.
I think personally I would probably go with Burrell for that reason, because Clyde aren't the most mobile at the back. Montrose centre halves weren't that mobile either.
No, you got Sean Dillon in there. Jesus.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, how long's he been in the go? I mean, really?
I know, he was doing the Rangers Dundee United game yesterday, straight after it as well. But yeah, I'd be interested to see if that changes on Saturday. Dickie says, one day we'll pump a team 7 or 8-0. Class going forward, forever ropey at the back, but someone's going to take a pacing at some point. I've no comment on the standard of officials at this level anymore, as there's clearly nothing to set it against. Hopeless every bloody week, says Dickie.
Too true. And last but not least, Stuart says, good win against a horrible side. Referee, every home game seems to get worse each week. Nesbitt and Kennedy were excellent. Need those performances consistently, and the right back looks a good addition.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're all walking away happy from that match, I think. Interesting that someone said, Donald put a stop. Focus attendance at 3742 was the biggest crowd in Scotland, out with the SPL on Saturdays it mostly is, and it was bigger than the other 4 League One games combined. So there you go, well done for everyone turning out on a horrible Saturday afternoon for that. And another thing, James Wright put this up on the Come On You Bairns Falkirk page, is the difference between 1 year on after 19 games. So we are, this year, we're 2 places better off being in third as opposed to fifth at this time last year, and we are 10 points better off as well. So obviously, Cove, you know, they ran away with it last year, really. But
it's, special mention to Cove, though, on the back of their
yes, yeah,
on Saturday when the little rat Hartley got pumped on his first game.
Absolutely marvellous.
On this Monday evening.
That reminded me of that. Well reminded, Ross. Well reminded of that. So we're going certainly better than we were last season. And hopefully, Montrose is the first of the bogeys off the bat. We've got Clyde up next, which you know are a bogey team for us as well. And then Airdrie and then Kelty. Well, Kelty's coming up. So fingers crossed we can keep this run going, because it certainly would help. Right, okay, Falkirk Daft rated. Elsa, let's come to you first on this. Who is your Falkirk Daft rated player from Saturday?
Has to be Aidan, just for the two goals and his turnaround, his performance, and keep it up, lads, is what I'd say.
Ross?
Yep, I would totally agree. Although, special mention to Kai Kennedy. If Nesbitt hadn't scored, I think it would have been Kennedy for me that would have got the man.
Yeah, I think I would have taken the exact same as you, but we've got to go with Nessie. You know, we'll go with Nessie for that one. Right, Falkirk Daft, there's only one contender for me for this one. Ross?
Has to be the referee. What's his name? Beaton?
Graham Beaton. Graham Beaton, everyone. So
get his name in lights. The guy was an arsehole.
Keep your eye out for that name on forthcoming Falkirk matches. Graham Beaton. Elsa?
Same. Uttermans.
Right, brilliant. There we go. That's it, really. Montrose has put a bow on that. On to Clyde, which we'll preview in a bit. But I managed to get through basically the whole thing without mentioning our Frozen song. So there we go.
Well done. I'm proud to go.
Damn it.
we'll close the door on it, because as we know, love is an open door.
Oh, yeah. You see, you need to get one in himself. He's been waiting for that. Elsa, you've been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on.
Nice to see you, boys.
We really appreciate that. And if you want to be a pundit just like Elsa has been this week, please drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So on Falkirk Daft, we usually do a big question, but this week it's a bit of a twist on the big question, as we have two Hall of Fame packages to give away for a night with Russell Latapy at the Dobby Hall, which is happening on June the 22nd. Me and Ross are both going to be involved, hopefully on stage, chatting to the main man himself, the absolute legend that is Russell Latapy. Hopefully see you there as well. Really looking forward to it, Ross. I still don't know the course it's going to get. We're about 6 months out, 5 months out now, and I'm thinking, how am I going to speak to this man?
I know, he is a legend. He is a proper. He's the GOAT, isn't he? He's a GOAT. It will be cool. It sounds like ticket sales are going really, really well. The guys at ELT, I think he said some like 40% of tickets are over.
Oh, that's good.
That was a fortnight ago, actually, so it's probably better now with Christmas sales.
Oh, maybe you got some for your Christmas, or you've got maybe got some Christmas money to spend. You can get standard tickets for it, £25. There's going to be raffles and auctions and all that sort of stuff. There's a VIP package, Ross, in there.
There is indeed. So there's two VIP packages. The £45 one is the Bairns VIP package. So you get in a bit early. Meet the main man himself. You'll get a professional photo, and you'll also get a signed print of Russell in his Bairns kit as well. And that's £45. So standard £25, Bairns VIP package £45. And last but not least, we've got a Hall of Fame package that's available from the guys at ELT as well. I'll run through that before we let the news out. But so the £125 package is early entry to the venue as well. Again, access to the VIP room, but this time with a complimentary drink too. There's a hot fork buffet, which I'll be in the company of Russell. Don't know how much of the buffet.
Oh, but some Trinidad Tobago food, man. Yeah. Some of that Jamaican chicken and all that. That'd be great. Yes,
that would be nice. And there will be current and past Falkirk players there inside the VIP room with them. There'll be a meet and greet with Russell, including that professional photo again. Again, a print signed and personalised by Russell. And last but not least, a very limited edition, because it won't be on sale, a very limited Falkirk 2006 style retro shirt signed and personalised by the wee man to yourselves on the night.
That's a great prize. And do you know what? We have two of those to give away right now on Falkirk Daft. So you could get a Hall of Fame package worth £125. And this is how we're going to give it away, right? Basically, you have to ask a question to Russell. You've got a picture. You're there at the Dobby Hall on the night. And you've got to tweet us, Facebook us. We'll put this all up on the socials, along with where you can get tickets for the event. We're going to put that on socials. Just message us with your question of what you'd ask Russell. We're running around for 2 weeks, so we'll do the winners in 2 weeks' time on the podcast. Me and Russell are going to judge our favourite question, right? So it can be ridiculous, it could be serious, and it could be a serious one that we've not thought of. But then again, it could be absolutely ridiculous. And we're going to judge what the best question is. And whoever is judged the best question in 2 weeks' time will win those two Hall of Fame packages for the Russell Latapy night. Is there any questions you could think of, hand, Ross, that you would like to ask the wee man? Did you have a go at Jordan as well?
We know the answer to that one. there's probably 100, John, and we will, and we should tell everyone this exercise isn't us getting our questions given to us for free when we're interviewing the little.
Well, I don't know, Ross. I think we might take a few of them.
He's obviously had such an amazing career, like favourite goal, favourite moment.
Did you ever have a fag at halftime? We all know the answer to that one as well, probably.
Don't we? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he did. He loved a fag, didn't he? He did.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I've shared this story before, but he was famously man of the match one game, and we were in hospitality, and we ended up sharing a taxi into the town room. And we had a drink as soon as we went into behind the wall with him, which was amazing. But I should ask him, is that your best night out in Falkirk?
Yeah, night out with you. Well, there you go. Well, ask that question. But listen, get your questions in. The more ridiculous, the better. We'll judge in 2 weeks' time who's got the best question. We'll leave this open for 2 weeks as the big question, and we can sort you out that Hall of Fame package for the Russell Latapy night. Dobby Hall, June 22nd. Get your tickets now.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, so Montrose is out the way. One of our bogey teams. We've got another bogey team coming up at the Falkirk Stadium this Saturday. Two home games, which is nice to have. It is Kelty. It's Clyde, not Kelty. That's another week's time. But we've got Clyde. They're all bogey teams. Clyde at the stadium this week. Clyde having not a very good season this season. They've drawn two in the last five, which probably one of them was against us as well. What have you made of Clyde so far when you've seen them this season? Obviously, they've had the change of manager, Danny Lennon getting the boot, and Jim Duffy coming in. Ross, what have you, from what you've seen of Clyde this season, what have you made of them?
They were far more organised than the last game throughout Hamilton. They were very, very organised that day. And they deserve to get the draw, if I'm being honest. It does look like it's going to be between them and Peterhead.
Looking at the table, there's 16 points between Clyde and Queen of the South now. So that's unassailable, especially Queen of the South. Marvin Bartley going in there as manager at the weekend. Yeah. That's going to be interesting to see what he does down there. But yeah, Clyde can he, but they've drawn 4-1-2. They're really struggling this season. Been a slight turn, I guess, with Jim Duffy coming in and organising them a bit better.
Yes, and Jim Duffy's a streetwise manager. He knows what he needs to do to kind of scrape points. I think they got beat on Saturday again.
Yeah, Kelty went down to 10 men in the 23rd minute. They were 1-0 up when they did. They managed to get the equaliser quite, but then a penalty in the last 5 minutes led to their downfall on Saturday.
But it's ninth or bust, so let's face it, they're playing to get into that. I know they're already in the playoff spot, but that is their season now, is just will they be in the playoffs or will they be automatically relegated? Personally, I'd probably like to see them stay up rather than Peterhead for no real. There's nothing in there. Maybe it's the journey.
The journey, Peterhead.
Although Peterhead's a good day out as well. We play Peterhead on the very last game of the season.
Hope it's done and dusted by then.
I don't know. I can think of worse games to go into because obviously.
But you hope they've been relegated they're not fighting for that second spot because Davey Robertson's obviously went in there and he'll probably do a job as well.
True. Aye, that's a good shout, actually. So that might help them climb up the into that ninth spot. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see who finishes in those bottom two spots, but not as interesting as to who finishes in the top two, which is what we're obviously more interested in from our particular persuasion. But, we do need to be wary because we have come up against Clyde and we've come up against problems against them. So it's a tricky one. I think if we start as we mean to go on, like falling on from Saturday, we'll get the win.
I mean, we know some of the players. Obviously, got Gomez there. They have Peter Grant, who we all know. I've reached out. We usually we spoke to Paul a couple of times this season from the Quaid FC podcast, and he messaged me. I said he can't make it on tonight, unfortunately. But his opinion is one step forward, two steps back, really, in terms of the side. Injuries are killing them. Gomez is away. Actually, I didn't realise that he's away.
Was he? Has he left?
I didn't realise that. Ray Grant's out for the season. I mean, Ray Grant, I always thought as a player I'd like to see at Falkirk. I've always been impressed by Ray Grant in the midfield. But he's out for the season, likely. And they're just doing stupid things that's costing them points, according to Paul. Their only hope is to go for goals, as they're not keeping a clean sheet anytime soon. So that bodes well for us, because our attacking prowess is great. From their perspective, I mean, their players have done all right in terms of Jordan Allen, Ross Cunningham, Ewan Cameron. They've all got goals this season for Clyde.
Yeah. No, they've got tricky players there, John, so we are going to need to be wary. Defensively, we need to be tight and put our chances away. We scored a couple of crackers last time we played them. Morrison had that really, really nice finish. Lawal had a good goal scored. Can't quite remember who got the third one, but we can get goals against them. We definitely can, from the games that we've played against them this season, and we just need to do it again. Anyone will do.
I know, absolutely. Jordan Allen, 20. I mean, he's doing well for them. 10 goals in 23 appearances. And Ross Cunningham as well is 9 and 21. So these two boys are hitting goals for Clyde, you know. And when you look at actually how many goals they've actually scored in the league, they've only got 24, so it's all coming through Cunningham and Allen. So you would think, shut them down, keep an eye on them, and hopefully we stop the, you know, the tap from running. What a strange comparison to make. To stop the tap from running. Home win, we are odds on favourites here, 3-10. The draw is 4-1, and they're 13-2. To get the away victory. But as we've said, Clyde have always been troublesome for us. No, you know, I don't know why. Jim Duffy again will come organised, looking at their record. You know, they're right up against it with Peterhead, who I don't know who they've got on Saturday, but that'll be interesting to see who they've got, because that's what they'll be looking at. Like you say, from now on in, it's the 9th or 10th for them.
I think Peterhead are playing Dunfermline.
Are they?
Saturday, yeah. So, yeah, they probably will be looking over the shoulder there, but I'd be shocked if Peterhead do. I'd love it, but I'd be shocked if Peterhead do anything against Dunfermline. Really, yeah. Really. But you never know. You might get that new manager bounce. I think it's at Dunfermline. I could be wrong.
Did Peterhead not get a draw against them the last time at East End? Or am I just making that up?
I would need to look, buddy, but
I know, yeah.
I think having a quick look here to see where the game's getting played. It's at East End Park. So hopefully, can you imagine if they got a wee surprise win and anything? But I think Peterhead, Clyde, that's going to be a. You would assume it's going to be two home wins in those two games. The bookies will be, you know, as you've just said there, was it 3-10? So,
I've just looked back, they sneaked a draw against Dunfermline back in October. And I think they were going to win that until Dunfermline scored late on. But there you go. Or no, it was Peterhead got the last. That's what it was. Dunfermline were 2-0 up, and Peterhead came back into it 2-2 at East End. So you never know. You never know.
That might be in the Dunfermline heads as well.
Which means they'll probably go and pump them now. But we'll see. Right, what do you think the score's going to be against Clyde then?
I think we might concede on Saturday, but I also think we will be a bit sharper up front. And I wonder if we might have a couple of new additions in the team as well. I'm going to go 3-1, Burns.
3-1, Burns. I think we'll concede as well. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to steal your score prediction. I'm going to go 3-1 as well. I'd like to see Burrow starting. Do you see any other changes apart from maybe up front, Ross?
No. I think it'll be a similar looking team. If we get another couple of players in, or a player or two, you never know, it might be a change in the starting lineup. Defensively, I think it'll be as is. Midfield I think the midfield's probably going to stay as is as well. I think the change will be up front. If he signs a forward, they might get a start. I don't think it'll be Gary Oliver. I think Burrow will start against Clyde.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens come Saturday at the stadium.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching or listening. Remember, you can get us on YouTube. Hi to all the YouTube viewers. Hi there. Like and subscribe. You can get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So you can hear us in your ears. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, especially because we've got that competition for the Russell Lattipe Hall of Fame package coming to the socials this week. Keep your eyes on that. Get your questions in. I want complete ridiculous questions for Russell, so get them in. And like I say, in 2 weeks' time, we'll judge who's sent in the best question and we'll give them the Hall of Fame tickets. If you want to discuss anything Bears related, you've got a Discord channel as well. You'll get the links for that in the description here. And that's it for this week, Ross. We're all kind of happy. I mean, in saying that, I walked away from the stadium on Saturday a bit pissed off, especially after that last goal that we conceded. A couple of pints of Elliot's kind of settled that down a bit, though.
Yeah, I think between the ref and the losing the last sort of couple of minutes goals, it probably did put a little bit of a downer. But as you say, overall, good win. No win's a bad win, as John McGlynn says as well.
no win's a bad win. That is definitely the title of this week's show.
Yeah, that's a good
one. But no, listen, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. We had a lot of great sponsors on. Thanks to Drummond and Laurie, who supported the podcast last week, and all our sponsors from previous Arbuckle Construction, all that have helped us throughout the year. But yeah, drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, if you're a business out there and fancy getting yourself on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Right, so 3 points and up the road on Saturday. Hopefully the game the same again this Saturday, Ross. But until next time, you know, we'll wait and see who comes into the door. We'll keep an eye at Benny T's. But until then,
expect the unexpected, buddy.